Greetings, listeners. My name's Andrew, and with me is Nick Dean. In this IPAN podcast, we show that the United Nations General Assembly has a mechanism enabling it to bypass a Security Council veto in order to intervene in Gaza to stop the genocide being perpetrated there by the Israeli military. The need for this has been demonstrated by two recent occurrences. Nick, what are these?
Anyone who follows the news can see that for nearly 2 years, Israel has been carrying out a systematic program of genocide against the people of Gaza. And this has now been confirmed by the UN. On the 16th September, just gone, the ABC reported that a United Nations Commission of Inquiry into the occupied Palestine territory by the UN Human Rights Council has concluded that the Israeli authorities, and I quote, intended to kill as many Palestinians as possible and have committed the crime against humanity of extermination. That report cites direct targeting of civilians, including children, and mass killings in, and I quote again, far larger numbers compared to previous conflicts. It also found Israel deliberately inflicted life-threatening conditions by blocking food, water, and medicines, actions calculated to bring about the destruction of Palestine. The inquiry's report follows a 2-year investigation and builds on a growing number of assessments labelling Israel's actions as genocide. According to the report, statements by Israeli leaders encouraged hatred and violence against Palestinians and were interpreted by its forces as a directive to destroy them. The Commission finds, and I'm quoting again, the Commission finds that genocidal intent was the only reasonable inference that could be drawn based on the pattern of conduct of the Israeli authorities. So the first reason for urgent United Nations General Assembly action is simply to stop the genocide. The call is being made by millions of people at ongoing protests around the world.
Nick, what's the other reason why the United Nations General Assembly should take immediate action on Gaza?
The second reason the UN General Assembly must take action is because the Security Council is unable to do so. This week, the US once again vetoed a Security Council resolution demanding an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza and the release of the hostages. And they did that on the pretext that the resolution did not go far enough in condemning Hamas, meaning the Palestinian resistance. All the other 14 members of the UN's most powerful body voted in favour of the resolution, which described the humanitarian situation in Gaza as catastrophic and called on Israel to lift all restrictions on the delivery of aid to the 2.1 million Palestinians in the territory. Now, this highlights the undemocratic structure of the UN Security Council.
Quite right. The fact that any one of the big five, the US, Russia, China, France and the UK can block a resolution passed by the majority of member states is totally undemocratic. This is exactly what happened on September the 18th, when the US again vetoed action by the Security Council to stop the genocide being perpetrated by the Israeli military in Gaza.
Fortunately, there is a solution. The UN General Assembly can act when action is blocked by the UN Security Council. And we're indebted to Craig Mokhiba, an international human rights lawyer and former senior United Nations official, for alerting us all to this mechanism. What does he say, Andrew?
Craig Mokhiba explained recently that the United Nations could act to stop the genocide in Gaza by using the little-known Uniting for Peace mechanism to bypass a veto in the Security Council. He writes that, and I quote, "After 22 months of unprecedented carnage, three things are clear. 1. The Israeli regime will not end the genocide in Palestine of its own will. 2. The United States government, Israel's principal collaborator, as well as the majority of Israelis and the regime's proxies and lobbies in the West, are fully committed to this genocide and to the destruction and erasure of every remnant of Palestine from the river to the sea. And 3. Other Western governments, like the UK and Germany, as well as far too many complicit Arab states in the region, are fully dedicated to the cause of Israeli impunity. This means that genocide and apartheid will only end through resistance against the Israeli regime, the steadfastness of the Palestinian people, the solidarity of the rest of the world, and the isolation, weakening, defeat, and dismantling of the Israeli regime. End of quote.
He went on to say, and quoting, as was the case in apartheid South Africa, this is a long-term struggle. But even in the face of Western government obstruction, there are things that can be done right now. Things like boycott, divestment, sanctions, demonstrations, disruptions, civil disobedience, education, prosecutions under universal jurisdiction, and civil cases against Israeli perpetrators and complicit actors in our own societies. And yes, we can also demand intervention and protection for the Palestinian people.
Adopted in 1950, the Uniting for Peace mechanism authorizes the United Nations General Assembly to act when a Security Council resolution is vetoed by one of its permanent members. Under this mechanism, the United Nations General Assembly could mandate a United Nations Protection Force for deployment to Gaza to protect civilians, ensure delivery of humanitarian aid, preserve evidence of Israeli crimes, and assist in recovery and reconstruction. Legally, there are no hurdles. The rules allow it. The General Assembly's Uniting for Peace power has been repeatedly affirmed, and there are precedents, most notably the General Assembly's mandating of the 1956 United Nations Emergency Force to the Sinai over the objections of the UK, France and Israel.
Craig Mochaber further says that once mandated, let the protection force be deployed by air, land and sea, accompanied by international media and supported by all diplomatic avenues to ensure its successful deployment and to press the regime and its Western backers to stand down. The world has a chance, belatedly, to stop a genocide and other crimes against humanity. All it needs is the will to do so.
Others, such as international scholar Richard Falk, have argued that the General Assembly has the precedent and authority under the Uniting for Peace resolution to bypass the Security Council and act decisively to protect civilians. Professor Falk said, and I quote, Gaza offers a crucial test of whether the international system can prioritize people over politics. And he continued that both the humanitarian and moral imperatives and legal mechanisms are strongly supportive of an armed protective force to ensure the establishment of a permanent Gaza ceasefire, the delivery of food, water, fuel and medicine to the surviving, traumatized and largely malnourished Palestinians that continue to be confined to the killing fields of Gaza. End of quote.
The IPB, the International Peace Bureau, recently moved to lobby members at the United Nations General Assembly to activate this Uniting for Peace mechanism and send an interventionist force into Gaza.
In Australia, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network has members on the International Peace Bureau board and in discussing this mechanism has stated its support for an interventionist force under the mandate of the United Nations General Assembly, deployed to Gaza and armed for its own defence.
In supporting this action being urged on the UNGA, IPAN has issued a media release, and it's headed, "The Australian Government must act at United Nations meeting to support multinational intervention in Gaza." So in this media release, IPAN spokesperson Annette Brownlee says, and I quote, "It is clear that the Security Council is powerless to promote peace in Gaza and put an end to the genocide being carried out there." Ms. Brownlee also said that the failure of this resolution should be the trigger for the United Nations General Assembly Uniting for Peace mechanism to be activated as it bypasses a Security Council veto. Activating the Uniting for Peace mechanism would enable the General Assembly to implement in Gaza multinational armed intervention for self-defence, to open up corridors for humanitarian supplies and establish peace for the people of Gaza. IPAN calls on the Australian government to not only recognise the Palestinian state, but to support such intervention and offer to supply ADF forces for this. That's what Annette Brownlee said.
It is understood that two members of the United Nations General Assembly, Ireland and Colombia, are prepared to support a multinational interventionary armed peace force for Gaza under a United Nations General Assembly mandate and using the Uniting for Peace mechanism. This is a good start.
There is a petition to the UN General Assembly still open, calling for such intervention under the Uniting for Peace mechanism. And you can access this petition by going to change.org, and it's called UNGA Petition to Gaza. So I'll repeat that, change.org, UNGA Petition to Gaza. And it reads as follows. "We demand the immediate deployment of a UN multinational armed protection force with the following mandate. 1. Protect civilians from further violence and displacement. 2. Ensure full, safe and sustained humanitarian access to food, water, shelter, energy and medical care. 3. Assist in the initial stages of reconstruction, enabling families to return to their homes and rebuild with dignity. 4. Preserve and secure evidence of potential war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide, and human rights violations to enable future accountability and justice mechanisms."
We urge all of IPAN's members and supporters to sign this change.org petition as a step towards ending the genocide in Gaza. And that brings us to the end of this IPAN podcast. Good day and thanks for listening.